512 Friday right here on Ball Don't Lie. I got to say, we've been so preoccupied with the breaking news. We have not even recognized 512 Fridays, and I apologize. I'm sorry, Patrick. You do all this hard work, and then Harge and I just get to yelling and screaming at each other, barbershop talks.
I get it.
Forgot all about 512 Fridays and the very talented artists who are featured on 512 Fridays. So let me just say I apologize for that. That's my bad. I've been off for 3 days, and then when I come back, it's like the biggest story that we've had in a long time.
So and they saved it for you.
And they saved it for me. I was really excited, so I apologize. Forgot all about 512 Friday. Who we jamming now, Patrick?
This is Bavu Blakes, and he is supposed to be playing tonight at South Park Meadows. Okay. Hope the weather holds out enough for him to get out there and do some songs.
I know, because actually, I mean, that's my hood. Yeah, I'm like probably kind of 8 minutes from South Park Meadows.
Not too far
at all. And it's crazy that I'm in KD telling me that South Park Meadows used to be a concert venue back in the day. That was the entire reason for it. It was all a concert venue, and now, of course, shopping centers and all kinds of stuff.
Big money comes through. They be like, no, we finna build something.
Well, that was the guy who owned it died.
Yeah.
So the guy who loved the concert venue and did that died, and the kids took it over, and Walmart came in and was like, hey, y'all, we got some money, and y'all are having a dispute over how you're going to split up this land. Why don't we just buy all of it?
Speaking of big money, there's a conspiracy theory right now on the 40 acres. And listen, I'll just point out the actual facts, and then we can discuss the rumors and conjecture a little bit and conspiracy theory. So about Quinn Ewers being named the starting quarterback today. And I was talking to the guys in the break, and I said, well, the reason a conspiracy theory exists, not only because, you know, I think there are a lot of questions about who actually won the quarterback competition, because there was reports that it was close. But remember, Sark said he did have a quarterback in mind. We just all assumed it would be after the second scrimmage that he would name the starting quarterback, after he had more of a thorough evaluation of those quarterbacks, since the quarterback competition was so close. If it wasn't close, we'd have been, oh, this guy's been winning it the whole entire offseason. Doesn't just surprise anybody that he's the guy. But what happened was yesterday, Sark spoke to the media, reiterated, it's close. I have a guy in mind, but I want to let these guys compete. And today, the news is broken, not by Sark himself, which is also a little strange.
Very much so.
Usually head coach breaks that news about who the starting quarterback is when there's a quarterback competition. Just heard from Scott Frost up at Nebraska, said that Casey Thompson won the starting job, which was one of the worst kept secrets out there, too. I think everybody assumed that.
Mm-hmm.
But I digress. Okay, so Sark didn't announce it. John Bianco, sports information director, announced it, who everybody knows, well-respected, does a great job. But he's the one that announced it, which was kind of weird. Like, oh, that's kind of strange. Why didn't Sark just come out and announce it? And why not announce it yesterday if you did feel this way? You just spoke to the media. And I think Anwar Richardson was the one that asked about it. And jokingly, can we have this sound? Anwar Richardson joked that John Bianco told him. Remember?
Yes.
You remember this? This is yesterday. This is yesterday before the news. He's actually joking. I think he's joking. That John Bianco told him who the quarterback was.
Nobody was joking. He says, John Bianco told me you would announce the starter.
Yeah. Here's the sign. It's Anwar Richardson asking Sark about the quarterback.
Coach, Bianco promised you would name a promise of quarterback today. Is that true?
I can name all five of them if you want.
Are you closer?
I think I have a pretty good idea, but, you know, I want to give these guys an opportunity to compete, so that's what we'll do.
All right. Dayton, I guess that practice.
Yeah.
He saw all he needed to see.
Oh, my goodness.
In that one practice today. So here is the conspiracy theory, but basically.
Before you go into it. Okay. If this is the case, and that's what he happened to do, there was a media availability to the players. The players didn't even know when they walked into this media availability. And then all of a sudden, it's announced right after that.
So you're saying the one today, like that we haven't even gotten the sound from yet.
Yeah, because the players had media availability today. Sark did not. I would think that Sark, if that is the case, why, if you're going to make that, and John Bianco is coming in to be the messenger, why would you not just walk into there? You are the head coach. You can move some things around and say, you know what? I'm going to go out there, I'm going to make this announcement, and we're going to move on.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, it's very strange. The way it's being unveiled, it's very strange. And like you said, the players didn't even know. You guys had a guest on yesterday.
Yeah, Michael Felder came on with us from In the Bleachers. He works for a stadium.
Who's a well-connected guy.
Very well-connected.
He's been in the business a long time. I know his work. He does good work.
So we started the conversation off. We were talking about Baylor and what was going on. And I said, hey, Michael, everything's going on here at Texas. What are your thoughts of the Texas Longhorns and your expectations? And he was like, since Quinn Ewers has been named the starter, and me and Patrick look at each other and start panicking. We're like, huh? And we start looking, and we're like,
oh, what I missed?
We didn't get a text. We didn't get an alert. We didn't get nothing. I was like, news to us. News to us. No, I don't know that, bro. Like, what are you talking about?
Oh, that's
and then,
great.
Boom. People are like, did he just say that? Did he just say
and
that?
And if I'm not mistaken, obviously I was out of pocket.
Yeah.
But the reports were yesterday swinging toward
Hudson
Card being the guy.
Yes.
I remember keeping track of it myself. I'm like, oh, man, it's surprising. Yeah, yeah, that.
Right. And I'm sitting there getting ready to come in today and pound my chest and be like, I've been trying to tell y'all that I was leaning Hudson Card.
Yeah.
I've been leaning. I told you I was thinking he was going to be the guy.
Which
just
wouldn't have shocked
news.
Anybody
right.
Because the reports were that he was taking better care of the football.
Taking care of the
that
football.
There
that's
may have
right.
been a that's higher right. reward going with Quinn Ewers, but also higher risk.
Yes,
and that Sark
sure.
Dean, listen, in a Bijan Robinson, a Bijan Dijon Mustardson
exactly.
offense that we're running here at
boom,
Texas.
Boom.
We just need a guy that's going to make sure they take care of the football and manage the game because it's all about Bijan anyway.
Absolutely.
You know, so that wouldn't surprise me at all. We would have come in here and we'd have broken down and talked about it.
Yep.
But the Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, William size, Cardi B size, Lizzo size, but is that no? That was all interrupted. Because John Bianco came out and said that Quinn Ewers did win the starting quarterback job. So it does beg the question, why the kind of obtuse, very strange rollout of this information when you know that it was going to be nationally
yes.
followed and that people actually were going to be discussing it nationally. Why roll it out in this manner? That goes to the conspiracy theory. Some people believe that Sark might have been pressured to make such a decision. Remember, and I don't like. I'm not saying this is true. Remember Brian Jones last year?
Mm-hmm.
Remember Brian Jones's random statement about why Hudson Carr? I'm not even going to get into it because some people get upset when you talk
yep,
about it.
Yep.
All right, but remember Brian Jones said that he had sources that said Sark was influenced last year about his decision.
Yep, he said it loudly too.
Yeah, I believe he backpedaled a little bit. All right, he reneged on it. Reneged, please, but he said it. Right, he said it. So now the conspiracy theorists out there, and I would entertain it. I would get on the grassy knoll with you, Hard. They're basically saying now that it might have happened again.
Yeah.
That's why you had this strange layout and rollout of the information. It was that, you know, it's kind of adding to the theory that Sark may have not agreed, all right, with, you know, the powers that be.
Right.
About this decision, and maybe it wasn't all in his hands. That's a conspiracy theory. There is no fact. There is no substance to really back it up other than how strange the information was relayed and how strange the strange manner in which we received that information.
I will give you.
It reminds me of the. It's kind of the. I always talked about the magic bullet theory.
Yeah.
If not for the magic bullet theory, nobody believes in the JFK assassination because it was such an asinine, ridiculous, obtuse theory rolled out actually by the U.S. government. Everybody said, oh, you must think I'm an idiot, and I'll never believe anything you say about this specific incident ever again. And that's kind of what you have kind of going on here. Longhorn fans are like, why didn't the head coach just say it yesterday? What's going on here? Why John Bianco say it? That's weird. So now you got to answer the questions about the way you
presented
and relay the information.
Yeah, I will go. I can believe a different scenario, which is that he had made the decision already yesterday, but he had not talked to Hudson Card yet.
Okay.
And so in the media availability, he's like, all right, and the media knows, all right, man, we think that there's been a pick, but he's like, I haven't talked to him. And then rumor gets out, he needs to talk to Hudson Card. So people think, oh, he's talking to Hudson Card. That's a starter. He's going to give him the starting job.
Could be.
And then he ends up talking to him, telling him, hey, I'm going with Quinn, and moves over. And then at the end of practice, he's like, all right, I'm telling the team, it's going to get out now immediately. Let's just go tell the press because they're going to find out and they're going to get mad.
Okay.
We didn't tell them.
That makes sense.
So all of that could be.
But why not tell him yesterday? Why not do it yesterday?
I agree. I'm saying there is a lot of questions. I'm with you that there is a lot of questions that are not answered here. And believe me, we'll get on Monday. I'm sure it'll be asked a million times of all these things. So Monday we'll have more answers, at least they'll have to answer somewhat for how it went down.
Yeah.
But I can believe that it's not a full-on conspiracy because to me, I don't know what donor is like, hey, man, I got something unveiling on Sunday, and I need QB1 there Sunday. Like,
I need to announce it today.
Yeah, it seems like it could have happened on Monday, and it would not have made a bigger difference. And he could have told a donor, like, cool, yeah, no, I'll take it on Monday.
Yeah, no, it's like I said, there's no source about it, but I know people are discussing it. And I remember the Brian Jones report from last year. And I remember how that came up. So I just thought Longhorn fans will address it. But just so you know, I don't think that was it. My theory, I've been saying this for months, it was Quinn Ewers' job. It was the worst kept secret in college football, in my opinion. It was his job. And I'd been hearing that from all my sources. I've heard it from BMDs. It was his job. It was just his job.
Yep.
And it was mostly his job because the locker room had already decided. As I've already told you, a quarterback competition is just an election. All right, now the fans, I know you guys
have. You said
have,
that from the very beginning.
You guys have who you guys think should be the quarterback. Yeah, you're the popular vote. All right, and as we know, you can win the popular vote, still lose the election. All right, so who you guys want really don't matter. It's about the electoral college of this process are the coaches and the locker room. And remember what I kept saying about the locker room, all right? The locker room, in my opinion, had decided, hell, even when Xavier Worthy decided he was going to change his Twitter profile pic to be Quinn Ewers with Hudson Carr still in the same locker room. I know a lot of wide receivers. They don't suck up to anybody. They are egomaniacs. Mm-hmm. The only people they suck up to, that's my quarterback. Because they know it's the guy that's going to give me the ball.
Yep.
Was Xavier Worthy sucking up to Hudson Card? Nope.
No.
Because that wasn't his quarterback. That wasn't his quarterback.
Yeah, things changed.
You don't think Brennan Marion knows that? The new pass game coordinator? You don't think that the coach Sark knows that? No. The number one target on the passing game has basically decided he don't believe in the quarterback. When they were recruiting Jordan Addison to come here, remember all the photos that kept coming out? All the players? Yeah. Xavier Worthy putting out photos.
On the boat.
Quinn Ewers putting out photos. Remember I kept saying, why does Hudson Card photobomb one of these damn photos to show me that he's also helping recruit Jordan Addison? But when Jordan Addison was being recruited, who was he being recruited by? Brennan Marion, Xavier Worthy, and Quinn Ewers and Jordan Whittington. Whoa, he ain't won the job yet. Nah, it don't matter.
Yeah.
The players who are projected starters, they're riding with him while they recruit Jordan Addison. Go look at the pictures. I put him out on Twitter, at Rod Babers.
You did.
And I was like, that's when I knew he won the job.
I retweeted it already.
I was like, dude, I've been in locker rooms most of my adult life. The locker room makes that decision. They had already decided. Quinn Ewers, I got. Remember Q the Fool? Remember Xavier Worthy going crazy? You know Q the Fool? I don't know Q the Fool. You should know. Hell, I think that he was signed with Roc Nation. Go Google it. But he's a rapper, and they were really excited about Quinn Ewers reciting the lyrics to Q the Fool. Don't matter to me. Matter to them.
Yeah.
He won that locker room months ago, guys. And if you think a head coach who admittedly already said he lost that locker room last year, that's why he turned over 40% of the roster, lost that locker room last year. He lost it around the Arkansas game when Hudson Card was supposed to be your starting quarterback. Remember, guys uninspired on the sideline. Remember that look on Sark's face? Even in the Kansas game, I didn't see that look. The look on Sark's face in that Arkansas game, y'all all remember it? We've never seen that look on Sark's face prior and even after that. Even when he was on the sixth game losing streak. That was the game where I think he may have lost faith in Hudson Card too. Because nobody on the sideline seemed inspired. Bring in Casey Thompson, guys seemed inspired.
Yeah, things change quickly.
So my theory is that there's no way Sark could go against the locker room. Because if you go against the locker room and put a guy out there that the guys don't believe in, as a coach, dude, you're on your way out. You're done. Because then for the second season in a row, you're going to lose that locker room because it's an election and they already made their choice. Now, am I saying it's going to work? Nope. Am I saying it's the right choice? Nope. I'm just telling you the reality of why the decision was made. Decision was made because the locker room made their choice. The coach, Brennan Marion's in those pictures. Recruiting Jordan Addison. Where's Hudson Card? If you're going to win the election, you have to be seen by your constituents. So my thing was, I think Hudson Card lost his job last year, and I think he lost it in the offseason this year. Mac Brown told you, when Jevin Snead and Colt McCoy were competing, Jevin Snead won the spring. And Mac Brown says, I was ready to go into the offseason thinking Jevin Snead had the lead. And then all the players in the offseason came up to him and said, Colt McCoy's the guy. He won the job. He's the guy we're going to follow. He's our leader. And he said in training camp, he confirmed that, and he was the guy. We did not see that type of advocacy for Hudson Card in the offseason. Did we see guys go, no, he's the guy. He's proven it. He's the one that's organized the session. He's the leader. He's the one we're going to follow. Guys, if there isn't a huge amount of separation and distance from an older player and a younger player, you always go with the younger player because the older player should have separation by now. It's Hudson Card, in my opinion. This is Hudson Card's problem that he did not separate himself enough from Quinn Ewers. Because we all agree, both of them throwing interceptions, and it's a really close competition. It shouldn't be. There shouldn't have been a doubt. There was a doubt, reasonable doubt. And because of that, the jury swung to Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
Done deal. I told you that months ago. I said, this will play out this way. Quinn Ewers will get the job, even though he's already got the job. He'll get the job. They'll make it official. And then Hudson Card will transfer. So the only part of my prediction that didn't happen for Black Shadamas is Hudson Card transferring, but it will happen. It will happen.
You think it will happen for sure?
You know what the transfer rate is now for quarterbacks?
Well, I definitely.
It's closer to 70%.
But do you know what the finding a landing spot rate is?
He will though, because he's got high talent. He's got high talent level. He can be a starting quarterback at the college football level. I think we all agree with that.
I definitely agree.
So
with
I think
that.
That's why he'll go somewhere else because he's smart enough to know that.
But I need him to be engaged this year. That's going to be Sark's biggest challenge this year, keeping him engaged because you're going to need him.
Yeah,
you're definitely going to need him, and if you're not selling that. After you made that decision that you made today, and it would have happened the same way. It would have been the same sale. But the problem is, Quinn Ewers wouldn't have been able to transfer. He's already used his one-time transfer. That's it.
No.
So for me, you got to look at it this way. What can we do to keep this team together? What can I do to keep this young man with me to understand that you are one play away from being the starting quarterback at this university? And if you could create that, I think that's going to be his biggest coaching job right there.
Yeah.
Is trying to keep that backup position on lock. I still think Malik needs to be in the conversation. I think he needs to be getting some work. But he wasn't part of this scenario right now. Whatever happens after this is game on. But right now, I think Sark's biggest thing is going to be let's go get this right now and be able to work to save that quarterback. The backup quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I hope this is Sark's decision, and I hope that he, the entire time, has been leaning Quinn Ewers as a quarterback whisperer, quarterback nurturer. Remember, he picked Mac Jones over Bryce Young, and Bryce Young was a five-star quarterback, one of the top quarterbacks in the country, and Mac Jones was more of a under-recruited, lower-rated quarterback. But what have I said about picking a quarterback? Picking a quarterback is like picking a significant other. The woman you marry is not the hottest woman you ever dated. She's the one that was most compatible with you. And last year, Sark screwed up. And Hard agreed. He picked Hudson Card when in actuality, he should have picked Casey Thompson. Not because Casey Thompson was that much better than Hudson Card, but because Casey Thompson was more compatible with an offense that was going to be off schedule.
Yep.
A ton. All right? Because the play was going to be breaking down a ton because your offensive line was subpar. And that's exactly what happened, which is why Casey Thompson was a scrambler, scrambling to run, and he was much more compatible with where your offense was at that time. At Alabama, you know, that offense under Mac Jones, Mac Jones went to his second read, other than his first read, so second or tertiary read. He went to it less than 9% of the time. That offense was on schedule all the time. It was never off schedule. Texas offense will be off schedule 50-60% of the time.
Give me a little bit more.
So I think that's he made the mistake last year. He misevaluated. He thought, oh, we'll be on schedule. My offense is amazing. Yeah, your concepts and your philosophy is amazing, but you don't have the personnel like Alabama did. And that was a misevaluation, mostly because of hubris and arrogance.
Yep.
And then this year, he's got obviously better, more accurate evaluation of the personnel. So the assumption this year, I think, is also about compatibility with the offense. And I still think Quinn Ewers may be more compatible because he's thinking, what's the higher upside? Who can make every throw possible? Now, does he make the best decisions? No.
No.
But can he make every throw out there? Yes. And Sark wants to run more RPOs. And I think a big part of this is making those off-platform throws that Quinn Ewers is a little better at than Hudson Card. Remember, Bama led the college football world in RPOs the 2020 season, and that is the staple of a Steve Sarkisian offense. He couldn't run a ton last year because he didn't trust those guys at the manipulation point, all right, of the mesh point. So, and also being able to trust those guys within the offense to not make mistakes within an RPO game. So I think this year he wants to run more RPOs. I think Quinn Ewers is more compatible with the offense. He wants to have big plays downfield. Quinn can make all those throws. Will it be a success? I'm not saying it will. Guy ain't played football in 2 years, so I don't know if it's going to be a success. Nobody does, but I think he's going, much like Mac Brown did with Vince Young over Chance Mock. And like he did with Chris Sims over Major Applewhite, he's going with the guy with the higher upside.
Yeah. And that's going to be the biggest thing that we're going to all try to see what plays out. Look, no matter who's going to be the quarterback, just remember that if you're a Texas Longhorn fan, support both of them.
You have to.
Support them both, because if you were in the camp for Card, sorry, he's the backup right now. If you're in the camp for yours, support him. And everybody else come together, because no matter what happens this year, both quarterbacks will end up playing, and we will definitely need both of them to win games, period.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. That's been the case for Texas. Even when you do have a Sam Ellinger, you need a Shane Buechele.
You don't get
to the Big 12 title game in 2018 without Buechele.
Right.
Without Shane Buechele, you don't do that. Hell, when I played, Chris Sims, Major Applewhite, they went back and forth all the time between Chris Sims and Major Applewhite. And when Chris Sims, a young quarterback, had his meltdowns, you guys remember, how many times did Major Applewhite come in and save the day?
I watched
Case McCoy save the day when David Ash almost lost at Kansas.
Right.
Mac Brown back in the day. You're going to need him, because a young quarterback is going to have a meltdown. Oh, they do. They always have these meltdowns and growing pains. Yep. And you may decide then, you know what, let's go with Hudson Card to save the day. Hell, Vince Young had it with Chance Mock one time.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened.
Because Vince Young
Texas
had a meltdown.
Texas Tech, to be exact. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
It happened. So I totally agree, Hard. That's probably the best point made today, is that you're going to need them both. I know we're going back and forth about why he chose and all that, but you're going to need them both. I just think that, you know, in the end, you need a guy that the alpha males in the locker room are going to follow. And we've talked about how the criticism of Hudson Card has been that he's not a vocal leader. And I'm not saying that Quinn Ewers is either, but it seems like he has ingratiated himself more in the locker room. And he's got that, you know, whatever. Because like I said, if there's not a lot of separation, then they're seeing something in him that they like, that they want to follow over Hudson Card.
Right.
And it might be that je ne sais quoi. Right, that it quality. I told a story earlier about the Daryl K. Rory story about the it quality. We'll go to break here and get into Roger Round the day after this, which has been all damn day. But Mac Brown hanging out with Daryl K. Rory and Willie Nelson and George Strait at a high school, basically is a high school coach comes up to him. And they're at a camp right there at DKR Stadium, hanging out there on the field. Sounds like a joke, but it's not. True story. Mac Brown tells it. High school coach comes up to Daryl K. Rory and says, "How can I be like you, coach?" Coach Rory told him, "If you have it, son, you'll make it. Now, if you don't have it, you won't make it. And if you don't know what it is, you ain't got a chance to make it." Mac recalled DKR saying, "The young coach looked at him, bewildered, stupefied, and just walked off. Never said bye to Coach Royal, never said thanks, coach, for your time. Just looked like, what the hell, and walked off." Coach Royal looked at George Strait, Willie Nelson, and Mac Brown and said, "Told you. Hell, he ain't got it."
That's them old ball coaches.
It's just
that
simple.
He ain't got it. They recognize game,
dog. I hate it, but I feel like some guys in the locker room feel like that about Hudson Card.
Right.
Hell, he ain't got it. Can he make the throws and all that? Yeah, of course he can, but are they going to follow him? Coach cannot pick a guy that the locker room will not follow. The locker room has to follow the guy. It has to work that way. Otherwise, you as a coach will lose credibility in the locker room, which you cannot afford to do.
But then there's another part of it that will say, if he made the wrong decision here, you can lose the locker room there too.
Hey, it's called a Catch-22.
Yeah,
there's a book written about it.
There's definitely a
great book written about it. But listen.
But like I said, we all in. We supporting it. You're going to ride with it until he has to make a change. Here we go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm hoping that Quinn comes out here throwing them bombs and everything looks beautiful.
God bless. We all hope so.
We all hope so.
Yeah.
And we hope we can ride it all the way through. But let's not forget, the same type of five-star, four-star type of quarterback that came in before, the fans ran him out of here.
Hey, listen, they still think one of my best friends in the world, Chris Sims, is a major failure, and he's just a bump. And this guy won 11 games 2 years in a row.
Right.
And Longhorn fans consider him a bum because he imploded in big games like Texas OU and the Big 12 title game.
Right.
So expectations are really high. So I'm not saying Quinn Ewers is going to meet him. I'm just giving you the reality of why the decision was made.
Yeah.
That's what Black Tronomus is giving you.
Right on.
All right, we come back. We'll get into Rod's round of the day on the other side. I'll tell you, an offense in the NFL that Sark should be paying specifically close attention to. They're going through similar things. We'll talk about that right here on Rod's Rant of the Day, right here on Ball Don't Lie, 104.9 The Horn.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Find out what happens when people stop being polite and start getting real.
You ain't keeping it real.
My God! Okay, it's happening. Everybody stay calm.
You've done it now. It's time for Rod's Rant of the Day.
Hold on to your butts.
All right, a bit of an audible here for Raj around the day. I was going to get into a NFL team that Sark should be paying a lot of attention to, but I'll do that on Monday because I don't have enough time here, and I don't want to go too much over the next segment. So I don't want to waste also the sound that we had, the audio from Sark, so we'll play some of that Sark audio here. Obviously talking a lot about the quarterback position. They've named Quinn Ewers QB1, but I want to get into some of the Sark sound. The first piece is about, since I'm a DB, we did have Mike Griff on, who I consider right on the verge of being a legendary Lifetime Longhorn. He was that damn good. But Sark was asked about the defensive backs. A lot of talk about the defensive philosophy changing for Texas, them deciding to devote more resources, try to emphasize coverage over pressure. Like they want to create pressure too, but it's really hard for defenses to be able to do both. Last year, Texas was one of the worst teams in college football at creating pressure. So they've decided they're going to devote resources to coverage and hopefully force opposing quarterbacks to hold the ball a little bit longer, and then the pressure can get home. And because of that, they've actually devoted a lot of resources to younger DBs and trying to get these guys to challenge receivers, play more man coverage on the back end. So first cut is Sark talking about some of the younger defensive backs, namely Jalen Gilbo and Jameer Johnson. He was asked about Jalen Gilbo specifically because of Jade Barron's injury. He's been out for a few practices, but in his absence, apparently, Jalen Gilbo has really turned some heads. Here's Sark talking about a young DB, Jalen Gilbo.
Yeah, I think Gilbo, he's a very confident player. He's a gym rat. You know, he's a football junkie. He loves the game. And you see his instincts. We saw it at corner. And then when you slide him into the star position, you see his instincts there as well. And he's been a playmaker. You know, he's made some plays on the ball. Made another nice play today, actually, in practice. Then got interception. So that creates healthy competition, you know, for Jahdae Barron. And now we have guys that are very interchangeable that can do different things and play with the instincts that we're looking for at that spot. Jameer Johnson's another guy who has kind of emerged and is getting more comfortable. It's like anything, you know, we're all concerned about these guys in year one. Here's this four-star from California. Why is he not playing as a true freshman? You know, that's the product of development, I think, is what we've been trying to preach to these guys. And Jameer's a prime example of that. And I think he's playing with a lot more confidence. It's a lot more comfortable and has created really good competition back there.
All right. And the reason this is crucial is because I should have more faith because he's from DB High, my old stomping grounds, Houston, Lamar, and H-Town. I don't have faith that DeSean Jameson is going to progress this year. I don't have faith that he is going to play better. He regressed last year, and he was inconsistent even the year before that. I know he's having a great offseason. I've heard he's having a great offseason. Got a lot of interceptions. I heard he's got 4-5 interceptions in the offseason.
Yeah, he's doing really good.
That may say more about your quarterback situation than DeSean Jameson, by the way, who gave up more touchdowns than PBU's interceptions last year. So just keep that in mind.
So he wasn't like Diggs.
I'm just saying, he's one of the worst coverage defenders at Texas last season, and now he's all of a sudden, he's pick six out there all the time?
Yeah.
All right, he's picking off all your quarterbacks. Might say more about your quarterbacks than just about DeSean Jameson. But my belief is that if Jalen Gilbo and Jameer Johnson are playing well, playing at a higher level, at least now you can potentially entertain moving Jahdae Barron out to corner if DeSean Jameson struggles, right? Or if, you know, one of those corner struggles, you have more options now. But apparently DeSean Jameson is having a good camp. I believe my man Joe Cook asked a question about DeSean Jameson, and has he actually shown that consistency that you would have hoped to have seen from a veteran player like DeSean Jameson? Here is Sark.
I have, you know, I think DJ had a good spring and has taken his game maybe to another level this fall camp. And he gets challenged, you know. I mean, he's, you know, we obviously, and you know, we pride ourselves on pushing the ball down the field and doing that. And he's got natural playmaking abilities, got great ball skills. What I've been proud of him is that, you know, we're seeing more physicality out of him on the perimeter, which was something that I think was needed for his game. And like everybody coming out of last year, all of our returners, I met with every player. And here's where we need you to improve your game. And now here's how we're going to help you do that. And I think DJ has done that. And he's expanded his game to a space where he's more of a complete player. And you're seeing it on the field. I think he's playing more confidence.
I hope so. It'd be great if DeSean Jameson can prove to meet expectations. I think he's got an NFL skill set potentially, but he's so inconsistent. I just don't trust DeSean Jameson. I don't trust him.
Yeah, I see you with the inconsistency, but you know, there he can make some plays, and that's the difference, right? You got to be more consistent, to your point, of being that guy that every time the ball is snapped, you're the last person I need to be worrying about, right?
As a super senior now?
Yeah, exactly. Because that was something that Michael Griffin talked about. He was like, if you ain't got it figured out by your fifth year, your sixth year, you might as well go ahead and go with some of these younger players and
totally
go ahead and let
agree.
Them do it. Yeah.
I'm not saying he couldn't have improved, but improved? You're a fifth year, yeah. A fifth year senior.
Yeah, Noah Brown. You like Noah Brown.
Yeah, exactly. You should not have been a liability last year,
right.
And you were.
Correct.
Here's Sark, though, on Ryan Watts. This is your boy, Hard. You've been bragging on Ryan Watts as he came in. You're really excited about him. Here's Sark on Ryan Watts and the depth now that creates when you have Gilbo, Johnson playing well, DeSean Jameson, but also bringing in Ryan Watts.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, Ryan is a longer player. And I think one of the things we've been trying to impress upon him is to use his length, use his size to his advantage. You know, you don't have to play small, play big, you know, and be big. And I think he's worked himself into understanding what that looks like. You know, if you're that big, go up and let's get in these guys' face. Let's press these guys. Let's be physical with them. But I also think the emergence of Jameer has helped Ryan, because it's like, hey, man, I'm real competition. And it's not just, hey, I'm good, I got my spot. And so that's what should make everybody in our program better, is when there's healthy competition at your position, knowing, man, I got to bring it every day. You know, there's no days off. I got to keep bringing it, and I got to show what I'm capable of doing. I got to show that I'm willing to be coachable and to make the improvements in my game. And I think Ryan has done that. Now, I've been proud of him. He's got a good demeanor about him. He's about his business. And, you know, I think that's kind of helped in the secondary of kind of that whole group has been about their business. I think Bug has had a really good training camp. Jaron Thompson. I think Cook has had a good training camp. I think Keaton Crawford kind of starting on Monday and Tuesday have been his best two practices. I got to look at today's practice, but he's kind of taken his game to another level after the scrimmage Saturday. So we need all those guys, you know, as we know, man, we're 2 weeks into camp and we're dealing with some of the injury bug. So the season is going to show up. And we need a stable of guys that we feel confident that can go in and play at a high level.
And he's right about that. I'm glad that the DBs are looking good. I've heard great things. I don't think I've heard any really negative reports about the DBs, Harge, in the offseason.
They've all been working hard and doing the things that they need to do to make sure that they're a part of the solution.
Yeah.
Right? That was something that we were talking about, too. Where's the depth at, right? Is there some? Yeah, obviously they've been working hard at it. And there's some names that keep popping up. And one of the names he didn't bring up was Thompson. That's a guy that I'm continuing to look at that supposedly has been having a great camp.
Jaron Thompson,
Jaron Thompson pushing Keaton Crawford again.
It's a great point. He was one of their best coverage defenders last season. He suffered as tackling.
Like
he was a bad run
defender,
but a great coverage defender. That's why he talked about being more all-around players, right? But well-balanced players. Okay, real quick, one more cut here. Here's Sark on tackling, which is an issue for Texas, has been for a while. Here is Sark talking about the tackling and how it's improved.
I think we've had upwards to three now. I think we've tackled well, better than we did a year ago. I would say that, one, we're tackling better. Two, I think our pursuit and our effort to the ball is better defensively, so that when a missed tackle may occur, which it is football, they do happen, especially when you got good players on offense, that the next guys are there to get that player on the ground. And that was probably, you know, one of the critiques from last week scrimmage was, you know, a couple of the explosive plays that the offense made were off of missed tackles, and I get it that might happen, and we're working on those individuals to tackle better, but I didn't love the effort from the other guys to make up for the missed tackles. But I think that our effort has drastically improved defensively, coupled with I think that our tackling has improved. But when the missed tackles have occurred, sure feels like there's a lot more white hats around the ball.
He's totally right. Remember I told you guys that I thought tackling was like the third or fourth most concerning issue for the Texas defense? Yeah. He was like, that's crazy to say that. Texas just needs to get their tackling under control to the point where they're averaging single-digit missed tackles per game.
Yeah.
And I think that's good enough. And he's right about the effort. Because remember, I started tracking yards that are accrued as a result of missed tackles. That was one of my stats. I'm like, well, missed tackles are a little bit, you know, that's a little bit of a distorted stat, and it can be misleading, right? What you want to know is how many yards came as a result of those missed tackles. Remember in the Arkansas game, Texas missed 20 tackles by my count, 166 additional yards.
Right.
For the Razorbacks as a result of those missed tackles. So that's the big, hell, Baylor in 2019, they won the Big 12, right? 2019, Matt Rhule's last year, 162 missed tackles. That's Pro Football Focus number.
Yeah.
You know what happened though? A lot of hats around the ball. You miss a tackle, but another guy's there to clean it up.
Another guy's
you don't
right
get a lot
there.
Of yards as a result of those missed tackles. K-State's been a decent team defensively. 2019, 150 missed tackles, 155 in 2021. Teams, I mean, he's right about teams miss a lot of tackles. How TCU missed 153 in 2021. Texas missed 148, according to Pro Football Focus. But if the effort is there and the pursuit is there, then they won't be as damaging because you won't have those yards that are accrued as a result of a missed tackle.
Yeah.
That's what happened in Texas last year. Oh, happened in Texas all too often.
I'm like, too often.
Yeah, a few years. All right, so we'll come back. We'll get into our off the record, actually. Snoop Loops. We'll explain when we come back.
Come
right
on.
Here. I'm Paul Dolan, 104.9.
Geraldo, remember Geraldo?
All right, 512 Friday, playing jams from local bands and artists you can hear right here in the ATX. I apologize. We usually celebrate 512 Friday and celebrate these fantastic, very talented people, but I came on the show after a hiatus, unlike Tom Brady's hiatus, but I ain't the GOAT. But I was really worked up, and we got big news today that Quinn Ewers was QB1. So missed the 512 Friday probably for the first hour, so I apologize for that. Who are we listening to right now, Patrick?
This is Ember. And they're playing tonight, or tomorrow night, at Come and Take It Live.
Come and Take It Live. I know that. I've been there.
We've been there. We've been there.
That is the spot. Love Come and Take It Live. All right. Maybe this guy's been to Come and Take It Live. I know he's still touring around. Snoop Doggy Dogg, gentlemen. How about this? Have you heard of this story that Snoop Dogg is now releasing a new cereal called Snoop Loops? This is real.
Yeah.
This is true. It's going to be just like the Fruit Loops and Marshmallows. Going to have that, but it's going to be Snoop Dogg as the – he's going to be the cereal mascot. You know, like, you know, you got the Tony the Tiger.
Yeah.
And you got Toucan Sam.
Oh, my God.
Now Snoop's going to be basically like Toucan Sam.
Let me see.
Snoop Loops.
Let me see what his –
Yeah.
Let me see what his look is on the rap.
He says,
more
corn, more flavor, and more marshmallows. That's what separated us from the rest. If you like Fruit Loops, then you will love Snoop Loops. He's actually working with Master P. This is a Master P production, too. Master P is the one that's his business partner on Snoop Loops. But this goes to what I've always said about rappers, right? Nobody likes old rappers or old strippers, old running backs either for the most part. You know, it's one of those jobs where it's hard to have a long shelf life there. And to be a rapper, you can't be a grandfather talking about how you know, out in the club doing drugs and, you know, obviously philandering with women, whatever it may be, right? It's just not as glamorous when you're that old. So as rappers get to their 40s and mid-40s, they have to transition. They got to become more mainstream. This is a guy now that was on trial for murder. Murder was the case that they gave him, working with
Redemption.
Death Row Records,
Redemption.
Master P and No Limit. And now he is best friends with Martha Stewart. And he has his own cereal, or pretty soon has his own cereal, called Snoop Loops. That is going mainstream, Harch.
And just so you know, it's gluten-free.
Yeah.
I went and looked it up. It's gluten-free for all y'all wondering if y'all want to do all that sugar. It's gluten-free.
Wow.
And Snoop has done a lot. They also said that he's got Mama Snoop's. That's part of his business. That's what they call it.
Mm.
He's got oatmeal, grits, pancake mix, and maple syrup. Also,
wow.
So Snoop is in that hustle, man.
He is a hustle.
Have you seen those rap chips? Like they got potato chips that are got rappers on the cover.
No,
oh yeah,
what?
Yeah, Lil Bootsy got one.
I didn't know. Where do you find these at?
There's a store by where I live that has them. I'll buy a bag and I'll send you.
Is it just all one artist or like just different artists in one pack? Different artists in one pack?
Different artists. Like Migos is one.
Wow.
Migos is
one.
Something like that, yeah.
Rap
that is
chips.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. There you go. See, yeah, I guess in the rap game, man, you got to diversify.
Got to diversify because people need chips.
Snoop has diversified more. Honestly, only Will Smith, Fresh Prince at one time, and I'm trying to think of another rapper that's Ice Cube.
Yeah.
Ice Cube, Dr. Dre too. I'll say those three. I don't know. And no, honestly, Ice-T. Detective Tutuola, who once had a song called Cop Killers,
there
is now
a
detective himself. Those may be the only rappers that have kind of mainstreamed it as well, if not better than Snoop Dogg. But
yeah.
Snoop Dogg has been, he is an example for all rappers. When you get too old, follow Snoop's model, man.
They just said the Cardi B chips are the best one.
Wow.
See?
You got two people said that.
Yeah.
Multiple texters said that.
Yep.
All right. Someone said Walmart has them.
There you go.
No marshmallows and Fruit Loops. I know that. Apparently Snoop doesn't know that. I was reading what Snoop said. I used to love Fruit Loops back in the day. What's favorite cereal? Go, real quick.
Mine is Frosted Flakes.
What is yours, Patrick?
Yeah, I haven't had cereal in 20 years.
Wow.
Okay, so that's not true. I've had it on camping, like when you get the little box.
But what was the one back in the day? What was your go-to?
I don't even remember.
Mine was, honestly, I was such a dull freak. It was Raisin Bran. With no milk, because I don't like white condiments, I would sprinkle a little sugar in it, but I'd eat it dry.
Oh, my gosh.
Just eat dry Raisin Bran.
You are really going
to. I told you I was a freak.
You are.
Even as a kid, I was eating dry Raisin Bran.
Oh,
I'd take it in a bag in the school. And people would eat, they would take cereal in a bag, right? Fruit Loops.
Yeah.
They'd take, like, Count Chocolate,
bag
whatever.
Bag of holes.
Yeah, whatever
that's what
it
is.
Kids would bring, like, cereal in a sandwich bag. I would bring just regular Raisin Bran, nothing in it, and I would eat it dry. Out of the bag.
Yeah.
Captain Crunch. Someone said, yeah. Someone says, please take Rod's black card.
Mug said, Raisin Bran.
Raisin Bran.
With no white condiments.
Dry.
Oh, my goodness.
That is terrible.
That is awful.
That is awful. And I can't believe I did that back then. I don't know, as a kid, that's how you know I was a weird kid, man. Someone says, Blueberry Cheerios and Captain Crunch. Hey, Captain Crunch is very popular.
And then they said, my man, E-40, he got ramen noodles.
Does he really?
Yep.
His own brand of ramen? Is it actually the ramen noodle brand or like his off-brand ramen noodles?
I think it's probably his off-brand ramen noodles,
okay.
But his own. He's got all kinds of stuff right now, man. They're all doing well, man.
Yeah, no,
you said, diversifying.
Yeah, well, rappers have learned now that basically you ain't got to just rap. Once you rap to make your name, then you can go diversify.
That's right.
50 Cent don't even rap anymore.
Well, that was about
50 Cent's now doing, he does these star shows from like Ghost.
And Power. That's
now
where
he got the Power series. He's got like
three or four.
Yeah, he got like 3 or 4 spinoffs from that. He doesn't need rap anymore.
He doesn't need to. And that's why Jay-Z always say, if you want to hear me rap about the old stuff, go get my old album.
Because
my life is different now.
I'm a businessman.
Yeah, man.
I'm not a businessman. I'm a businessman. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into some Cowboys practice reports. Also, some Houston Texans news, notes, and nuggets. College football power brokers trying to emancipate themselves from the NCAA. It was only a matter of time. And Kevin Warren, Big Ten commissioner, he is making a hell of a statement about how he wants to change the face of college sports. We'll discuss that in 6 o'clock. All that and more right here on Ball Don't Lie on 104.9 The Horn.